Welcome to Head Games Radio, and I am coming to you live from Channel 10 in Sacramento, and we're joined by one of my favorite people in the business, Solomon Wilcotts. How are you, bud?
I'm doing great, Nick. How are you?
Good. Just we had Mark Schlereth and Greg Gumbel on the show. Mark said he was getting crushed with all the requirements and all the crazy things going on Super Bowl week. How's it going for you?
Oh, I'm like that aluminum can myself, believe me. I'm getting crushed, but you know what? We get to talk about the Super Bowl. We get to talk about maybe the best team from the AFC and the best team from the NFC, and we get to talk about Peyton Manning and Tony Dungy and Lovie Smith and the road that both teams have taken to get to the Super Bowl. It's a fun time of the year. I think it's billing up to really what has become a national holiday on Super Bowl Sunday.
Hey, let's turn your mic up, my producer, just because I want to make sure we get you in on your cell phone there. And you're in Cincinnati now?
I am in Cincinnati, and I'm standing in a sound booth. Just got done doing a voiceover for a couple of essays we wrote on both teams. They're called How Did They Get There? So it chronicles the season for both the Colts and the Chicago Bears.
You know what, before we get to that, because I'd love to go into how you see the two journeys, the two stories, the storylines of each team, let's talk about something I love to talk about, which is kickers, in particular Adam Vinatieri. You were talking with him earlier in the week about his journey. It must be pretty interesting for him to find himself in the Super Bowl again, but with another team.
Yeah, he was a guy, he was a difference maker. 10 years with the Patriots, and, you know, he found a way to win. He was part of their winning formula. And now it just tells you just how important he was, because as he makes this switch over to the Indianapolis Colts, they finally break through and overcome their nemesis, the Patriots. Adam Vinatieri has been a vital, important part of what the Colts have accomplished in 2006.
And, of course, Robbie Gould with his 49, almost 50-yard field goal. In those conditions, the kicker will play a big part. It always does in close games. And I think this could well be a close game. When we come back, we'll talk some more. Later in the show, we'll have Luke Jensen from Down Under on the Aussie Open. And we'll have our U Sports segment. And we'll talk with Solomon about some of the important ideas about how these powerful role models on the NFL stage can impact kids in a positive and sometimes negative way. You're listening to Head Games Radio on Sports Byline Network and Sirius Channel 122. Stay with us.
What would you do with the extra money if you didn't have a mortgage payment? Secure your retirement? Pay for college? Invest in real estate? Travel? Is your home paid for free and clear? Or do you have a 30, 40, or even 50-year mortgage? Or worse, are you making interest-only payments with no reduction on the debt? If so, you're on a treadmill going nowhere fast. At United First Financial, we have great news. Our average client will pay off their 30-year mortgage in as little as 8 to 11 years, potentially saving thousands in interest. You don't need to refinance your existing mortgage. You don't need to make more money, and there's no need to alter your current lifestyle. Our Money Merge account can help you own your home years sooner, wipe out your debts, and have real financial independence. Our program works with fixed rate, interest only, and even NEGAM loans. This is not a biweekly mortgage program or a debt roll-down plan. Again, no refinance of your mortgage is needed. To receive our free DVD, please call 800-300-1096. That's 800-300-1096.
Hi, everybody. This is Nick Lowry, and I want to tell you about the most beautiful golf course I've ever played. It's called Quintero. It's already ranked in the top 10 in the country as a real estate golf course. I'm telling you, it is the most outstanding combination of beautiful fairways and views you will ever see. If you want to join one of the most outstanding new private courses in the country, go to QuinteroGolf.com or call 888-417-8468. That's 888-41-QUINT or 888-417-8468.
Don't let your next ticket buying experience be a drag. Tickets Now has the best seats for every major sports, concert, and theater event in North America. In minutes, you can have the seats you really want, from the 50-yard line to orchestra seats at the theater to courtside at the Big Hoops matchup. Every ticket is 100% guaranteed authentic, backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Find out for yourself at TicketsNow.com. That's TicketsNow.com.
This is Nick Lowry, and I'm here to tell you about HeadGamesRadio.com, the official website of Head Games Radio. If you can't listen to the show every day, just go to HeadGamesRadio.com and join the Head Games team. You get to listen to Head Games highlights from our superstar guests. As a member, you'll be entitled to exclusive offers and information. So register with us so we can send you updates and special giveaways that non-members just can't get. Stay tuned. Check out headgainsradio.com. Email us and join the Head Games family.
Got an iPod? Into podcasting? Now you can get podcasts of all your favorite Sports Byline shows delivered right to your computer. Automatically. So you can listen when and where you want. As many times as you want. On your PC or on your iPod. Never miss your favorite show. Just go to sportsbyline.com and click on the Get Podcast button next to your favorite shows. Visit sportsbyline.com today.
Yes, I was fired. It happens to most coaches. Well, what are you going to do? Are you going to just lie there in the fetal position and whimper?
Welcome back to Head Games Radio with Solomon Wilcots from the NFL Channel and CBS. Solomon, I thought what we'd do is we start with breaking down these teams. To me, the bottom line that Ron Jaworski's talked about, that Mark Schlereth talked about, that Greg Gumbel's talked about, is that Chicago is in big trouble if they can't get their run game going. What do you think about that?
Well, I definitely agree, because remember, it was the run defense that was perceived to be the Achilles heel for the Indianapolis Colts defense. And no one has really been able to take advantage of it so far in the postseason. Remember, they gave us the most yards per game rushing, 173 per game during the regular season. And now here in the postseason, they have played really lights out. So I think it's going to be important that you've got to be able to take advantage of their run defense. I like Thomas Jones. I like what Cedric Bince has brought to the table. I know Lovie Smith wants to play a very physical game with this coach defense. And really, it starts with their ability to run the ball against the Colts.
Ron Jaworski talked about as a road grader crew, they aren't tremendously athletic. They are just bulldozers. Here's Mark Schlereth, otherwise known in a friendly manner as Stinky, from yesterday's show.
I think Olin Cruz is obviously probably the best center in the game today, but he's also one of the nastiest players in the game. He will definitely give you the business, as they say. And I just love the way they play. I mean, they are a hard-nosed group. You know, they're a power-running football team. I'll tell you, one of the guys to keep your eyes on, one of the guys that really made a difference in Sunday's game against New Orleans was tight end Desmond Clark, guy that was a former teammate of mine with the Denver Broncos. And not only the run-blocking game where he's getting second, third blocks on people, it's just amazing, but also controlling the middle of the field to keep some one-on-one matchups with Bernard Berrien on the outside. So he's a guy that you really have to, kind of an unsung hero guy that you really got to keep your eye on, because he made some gigantic plays in that game against the Saints.
That's Mark Schlereth. What about that? Let's talk about Chicago. We spent a lot of time on Manning and his defining moment. But if Chicago can open up the middle of the field, if they can get ahead early, then this is going to be a long game.
Well, there's no doubt about it. I mean, if Chicago can get the lead, the key is, though, is that Peyton Manning can score points in bunches. I mean, very quickly. So I don't even think a 14-point lead. I don't think Chicago's safe with anything like that. All you're doing is forcing Peyton Manning to throw the ball more every time he drops back. I think any scenario really, I think, plays right into the hand of the Indianapolis Colts. This is something that they've done. They've created a more flexible game plan, a flexible way of playing. They can play down by 18, as we saw against the Patriots. They can play ahead and up by 21, or they can play in a really closely contested ball game. Either way it goes, the Colts are going to always be in it, no matter what the score says.
Well, I thought I'd have a little fun, since you were a very effective defensive back in your time. Stephon Page, who set at one time the all-time yardage record for a single game with the Kansas City Chiefs, he's on the line. Stephon, how are you?
I'm doing great, Nick. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Listen, I want to be very specific with you. Break down for me. We talk about Desmond Clark, that tight end, who gets incredible downfield blocks and creating some space there in the middle of the field for Chicago. Break down Bernard Berrien and the other receivers for Chicago with us, with Solomon Wilcots. Start
Let
with Stephon.
What's so special about Bernard Berrien? I tell you what, I got a chance to really know him a little bit personal, because he's one of my alma mater, Fresno State guys. Bernard's always had that big play capability. He has that long frame. He can run very fast and precise routes. He's the guy that can stretch the defense. He's the guy that they're looking for the big play. Comet, and he's another guy that's been doing it for years. He's a crafty veteran, runs great route. He's a guy that you can count on to when it comes to a possession, when it comes to making a play, he can keep the drive going. I think the Bears receivers actually, I think they have a nice receiving core because Grossman counts on those receivers. They make him look really good. There's times when Grossman not really doing as well, but his receivers, you saw Bernard make that great play. It wasn't the best throw, but he had to actually make a good, as far as going back and attacking the football, he made Grossman look good on that one long one that he caught and ended up scoring for a touchdown. So I think the Bears receivers are very, very well taught, very, very skilled.
Absolutely, and you know, Solomon, the way they block downfield, Musa Muhammad, I saw him in a couple excellent disciplined blocks downfield. Tell us the importance of that when you're the safety coming up, and you've got a receiver that is digging into your crotch and sticking with you. How important is that in a game like
this?
Let
me tell you, it begins to really annoy those safeties and corners when receivers, we take a lot of pride in that as far as going down blocking as well as catching the football, because the first thing you do, if you can block well, and what it does, it helps you sell that running game. And what it does, if the safety continue to be as active coming up to try to stop the run, now we set them up for the play action. So it's very critical that the receiver maintains his block, and he's 100% that he goes out every time there's a running play, that he's effectively be able to put a body on one of those defensive backs.
Well, listen,
I
buddy,
agree.
We appreciate you joining us, man. And Stefan, we love you, buddy. And we'll check in with you next week to talk about this game.
You got it.
Thanks, man. Solomon, tell me some more of the things that you've been noticing about the differences between the mentality and the schemes of these two teams.
Well, in terms of the mentality and the schemes on offense, you've got, with Peyton Manning and the Indianapolis coach, you've got one that really tries to achieve the perfect balance between the run and the pass. Peyton Manning gets to control all the mechanisms within that offense, the ability to check to the run if you're going to play in coverage and try to take away the passing game. If you only have six or seven in the box, he's going to pound the running game at you. And then if you decide you want to crowd the line of scrimmage at that point, then he's going to go up top. So he controls the mechanisms. He's pulling the trigger, and no one does it better than Peyton Manning. I think if you look at the Bears on offense, they get off the bus wanting to run the football. And I think they understand that the offensive line's got to be dominant. The offensive line has to control the game. They want to try to protect Rex Grossman. But if you get to the point where you're crowding the line of scrimmage, you give him an easy throw against one-on-one coverage with the receivers that Stephon Page just talked about, they will take shots down the field at you, and they're capable of beating you. We saw that in the NFC Championship game against the New Orleans Saints.
Here's another clip from Mark Schlereth about the Indianapolis Colts offensive line.
If you will, and kind of the finesse football that they have been asked to play, and ultimately, they have really changed things. I was talking to Dehani Jones, linebacker from the Philadelphia Eagles, and November 26th, the Indianapolis Colts beat them 45-21. And you know, the big thing right now is with Joseph Addai and the way they're running that football, they have really started to be a power run game, and they're getting great production out of their offensive line. It's not that their offensive line couldn't do it in the past; it's that they were never asked to do it, and it's something that they didn't really work on. You know, and run blocking is like any other skill that you have to work on. You've got to be able to work on your feet and your hands, and you've got to work on getting leverage. And the Indianapolis Colts have kind of changed that part of their game. They are a much more legitimate running football team now, and they're running with power. And there's an excitement about the game. It's really taking a ton of pressure off of Peyton Manning and that crew. And you're right, Jeff Saturday flatbacked Vince Wilfork on Joseph Addai's last touchdown. It was a thing of beauty.
It was a thing of beauty. So isn't it interesting how, in some ways, Peyton Manning not playing so well earlier in the postseason, the team knows that they can win without him having to be perfect?
Well, I think that's exactly what Tony Dungy wanted to achieve. He wanted to figure out ways to win games just in case that Peyton Manning was going to have an off day. That's why they wanted balance. That's why they wanted the running game to improve, and that's why they wanted the defense also to improve. They were able to win games without Peyton getting the ball in the end zone in Baltimore. And so this proves that how flexible they are, whether it's offense, defense. They feel like they can win the game in a close, low-scoring game. They can win in a shootout. They're flexible enough to win no matter what kind of matchup they're going to be presented with on Super Bowl Sunday.
So in our last 30 seconds, what I hear you saying, Solomon, is Indianapolis has the edge because they have the ability to adapt to every kind of situation. Chicago, while they have an incredibly opportunistic defense, they are less flexible, and for that reason, you give the edge to Indy.
I give the edge to Indy, but watch out for the Chicago Bears special teams. They do hold the edge in that category.
When we come back, we're going to talk with Solomon about maybe a more important subject in some ways, the fact that an African-American coach is going to win the Super Bowl and what that means as he sees it, the way that African-American coaches maybe have risen to the very top of the profession, what it means now, what it means in the future. On Head Games Radio on Sports Byline USA and Sirius Satellite Channel 122. Stay with us.
Golf Digest is going to cure your slice now, and that's a guarantee. Introducing the breakthrough video, Cure Your Slice Now, and it's free with your paid subscription to Golf Digest magazine. In this video, top PGA instructor Chuck Cook shows you the seven key phases of the swing and gives you his proven method for better control and longer, straighter drives. And here's our guarantee. If Golf Digest and Cure Your Slice Now doesn't cure your slice and improve your game, cancel the subscription and keep the video free. Every month in Golf Digest, you get easy-to-follow instruction from the best teachers and players in golf, information on the top equipment, the best places to play, and you also get the removable Pocket Tips booklet. Call now. Use your credit card and get your first risk-free issue, the Pocket Tips booklet, and the video free. You get 11 more issues for only $19.77. If your game doesn't improve, cancel your subscription and keep the video, booklet, and magazine free.
Call 800-828-2639. That's 800-828-2639 for Golf Digest. Available now from Doubleday Books. Real baseball, baseball's golden era. The way America witnessed it in the movie newsreels. Author Les Krantz brings a celebration of the golden age of baseball through the movie house newsreels that once presented the game's great plays and players to fans across the country. Real baseball is an enchanting look back at baseball from 1932 to 1965. This handsomely illustrated volume, with a foreword by Hall of Fame catcher Yogi Berra, traces the seminal role of newsreels in making baseball the national pastime before television brought the game into houses across America. This book also includes a one-hour DVD that features the most thrilling moments from original newsreels hosted by baseball great Joe Garagiola. Stay tuned to Sports Byline USA Broadcast Network for your chance to win a copy of Real Baseball by Les Krantz from Doubleday. Available now wherever books are sold.
If you think that you have to fight the crowds and long lines this tax season, think again. The Ronnie Deutsch Tax Center will prepare you tax returns over the phone. We could tell you how easy and convenient it is, but our clients say it best. Just listen.
No appointments necessary. You get on the phone as simple as A, B, and C.
I saved a lot of money doing it over the phone and quickly.
I knew that they were going to take full advantage of all the tax laws to help me.
It was fast and convenient, and they were very professional.
Just pick up the phone and call them. You won't believe the results unless you call them. They're there for you. They're professionals. They know what they're doing. Call them now.
Call the Ronnie Deutsch Tax Center today. We'll work hard to get you the biggest refund possible. Time to prepare tax returns and refund qualifications will vary. Services not available in New York or Oregon. Call now and you'll save 10% off our tax preparation fees. Call 800-923-3265. That's 800-923-3265. 800-923-3265. Call now.
There's 95 guys or 97 doing the right thing the right way and two or three jerks. So two or three jerks get 97% of the attention.
Join Head Games Radio. Call 800-878-PLAY. That's 800-878-7529. And now, here's your host, Nick Lowry.
Sir Charles Barkley is going to be on our show Tuesday to give us his Super Bowl picks. But Solomon, I thought that this would be an important subject for you and I to talk about, which is, we talked about with Greg Gumbel yesterday, which is, how much better did an African-American coach have to be in the early days? Here's Greg Gumbel.
The others too, and you know, especially in the early stages, it's kind of like when Jackie Robinson first broke into baseball. You know, I think that Branch Rickey and several other people who were pushing behind that actually happening knew that the first one had better be really good. You know, he better know what he's doing.
He had to be good,
and absolutely, it has to put a good face on it, or else he's going to take the plunge for everybody else. You know, there are going to be some bad African-American coaches. I'm sure there are around the country. There are some that have been denied jobs probably for that very reason.
That's Greg Gumbel. What does this mean to you, Solomon, as you have looked at the different personalities, effectiveness, the interaction of black and white coaches with the different players around the league? Who seems to have that serenity, that control, that leadership?
Well, you know, I think, you know, all the points you mentioned are very on point, you know, and then what we've seen from Tony Dungy and obviously Lovie Smith are the characteristics and the traits that you want in a coach, because I think they go beyond teaching the X's and O's. I think they're very adept at teaching young men how to be better people. And by way of becoming better people, they're going to make for better employees. They're going to be happier at work. They're going to love coming to work and practicing and doing all the things that it takes during the long grind of an NFL season. So they're going to be more productive. And I think that's where these two guys are very similar in their ability to strike a chord with their players and have the guys go out and lay it on the line for them. Now, that have anything to do with being African American, has something to do with just being quality people. Bill Cowher had the same trait. Don Shula had the same trait. So did a guy like Tom Landry. All the great coaches shared this, but I think we have to understand that African American coaches, in that sense, if you're a good coach, you share some of the same traits. And there's no doubt in my mind that Lovie Smith and Tony Dungy bring those kind of abilities to the table.
What is especially unique about them? Because they really, true, seem to have the complete respect of their entire organization. When you look around and you look even with Bill Parcells, what he had to deal with T.O., how rare a commodity that is.
Well, I think, you know, it's becoming more of a situation where you have to have those abilities. I think there was a point in time where you could just coach football and wouldn't have to deal with some of the things that players brought to the table in terms of their personal life. The player had to totally conform to the environment of a professional football organization or he wasn't going to be around. Now you find the organizations conforming to the individual and to the player. And I'm not so sure that that's how it should be.
Let's talk about another African-American coach who I have tremendous respect for, one of the great defensive minds in the history of the NFL with the Baltimore Ravens, their Super Bowl genius, if you will, Marvin Lewis, and what he's dealing with in Cincinnati with a guy that, for all appearances, has control over his team. But nine different players have been arrested, have been in trouble. What is going on there? Are you there, Solomon? I can't hear Solomon right now, so I will wait to see what's going on. I'm going to play something from Michael Strahan from Monday's show about the hype of this Super Bowl, how difficult it is, whether you're Marvin Lewis, if you get there, or whether you're, in this case, Lovie Smith and Tony Dungy, to keep your players focused.
Sometimes players buy into the hype of what they're saying about one side or the other, and it does not help your confidence in that game. So I think whichever team can distance themselves from all the media fanfare, from getting caught up in the process of it, and who can just understand it, keep your head clear of the papers, stay clear of all this extra stuff that's now going to be thrown your way, and focus on what's at hand, that's going to be the team that handles the best and wins. And I think that's going to be reflected, too, in a lot of ways of the coaching.
So when we look at the challenge of this, it's not just about X's and O's. When you get to the two-week break, I think it really hurts the caliber of the game. Now, you could say that that's what the Super Bowl needs, but I think that's a problem, that the quality of the game should be put ahead, and I'm not really sure if it really makes that much of a difference to have an extra week for everybody to make arrangements to come down. I wish that the Super Bowl was 1 week later, because if you did an analysis of those Super Bowls that were played 1 week later, usually they were a lot better caliber. We're going to talk in a few minutes with Dr. Andrew Jacobs and Fred Eng for the National Alliance for Youth Sports about this phenomenon of coaches that have to deal with players that get in trouble, the team building ethic, and what is necessary. And we're waiting to get Solomon back on the line. But in the meantime, Welcome back to Head Games Radio. Sorry for those technical difficulties, but you know, we're all about figuring out a way, just like in the Super Bowl, to make it happen when your, let's say your running back fumbles the ball and the ball comes in the end zone and suddenly an offensive lineman falls on it and you've got to, you know, deal with that the way the Colts did. They hung in there when Asante Samuel intercepted that ball and returned it for a touchdown. They're down 21-3. They hung in there. They got that field goal at the end of the game. So we're talking about the subject, Dr. Jacobs, since we want to connect to you sports themes in the second half of the show, about those coaches, those leaders, like a Tony Dungy and a Lovie Smith, that can keep their composure and make the connection also for the players that, unfortunately, for instance, in the case of the Cincinnati Bengals, can't keep their composure off the field. What do you think is happening with the Cincinnati Bengals?
Well, Nick, I think that there are a couple things going on. Number one, the league has substance abuse programs in place to deal with players who are having issues. Obviously, with the Bengals, there are some issues with a lot of these players in terms of, I think, respect of authority, entitlement. I think a lot of these players just seem to think they can get away with whatever they want to get away with. And I think you really have to look at the administration of that team in terms of what's going on, because they're drafting players that are having a number of problems. And I think you've got to look at the whole picture and start to figure out exactly what's happening here. You don't have this with a lot of other teams. I think Jonathan Joseph, I believe, was the ninth player in the last year that's been arrested for some kind of legal issue. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So I think when you really need to look at this, you need to look at, you know, who are they drafting? What type of players are they drafting? What type of quality do they have? And what are they doing about dealing with these players when they've got these issues? Obviously, when you've got nine players on a team of about 50-something on a roster, you've got some serious problems with the type of person that you're drafting and putting on your team.
But if you're Marvin Lewis and, you know, you have such respect around the league, at times now I think that people can make the legitimate criticism that level of respect is going to begin to be mediated. It's going to begin to be damaged because despite him laying down the law publicly, these guys are still getting in trouble. Is there any component that you see that creates the sense that players will get in trouble? Is it something about Cincinnati? Is it something about the fact that players think they're above the law? What is the thing that would make players think, whether they're Tank Johnson or whether they're on the Cincinnati Bengals or wherever they are? We saw a player get shot in San Diego. It's been around. Michael Vick last week, although it appears it wasn't as bad as we thought at first. What is the problem?
Well, I think the problem, Nick, is that you've got a bunch of young, mostly young athletes who think they can get away with things, and authority is not something they have a lot of respect for. And I think that's the issue, because you're seeing it all over. You know, the Bengals just happen to have a lot of these guys on their team, and you have to look at that big perspective. But I think you've got a number of players in this league who don't think the rules apply to them. And they're getting caught, and they're getting punished, but nonetheless, they think they can get away with it.
Well, we're going to go to a break. When we come back, we'll have Fred Eng for the National Alliance for U Sports join us, and we'll bring in Luke Jensen for an update on the Aussie Open Down Under. Stay with us on Head Games on Sports Byline and Sirius Satellite Channel 122.
In today's active world, everyone is turning to exercise and sports to stay young and keep in shape. Both activities can be painful. And what about the aches and pains of arthritis and tendonitis as we age? Now, there's an over-the-counter product with active ingredients that can help relieve pain quickly. It's called Blue Goo. Blue Goo is loaded with emu oil, MSM, eucalyptus oil, glucosamine, chondroitin, and other healthful ingredients that give you lasting pain relief. Whether it's muscle strains and sprains, tendonitis, headaches, back and neck aches, arthritis, or joint pain relief, Blue Goo Pain Relief Gel is for you. It's fast, effective, and affordable. Blue Goo, the real pain reliever, is available in the analgesic department. Or ask your pharmacist for Blue Goo Pain Relief Gel. Accept no substitutes. Make sure it's Blue Goo, the only name to trust in pain relief. Let Blue Goo Pain Relief Gel work for you. Blue Goo, if you have a problem or pain, we have a solution. Blue Goo.
Hi, everybody. This is Nick Lowry, and I want to tell you about the most beautiful golf course I've ever played. It's called Quintero. It's already ranked in the top 10 in the country as a real estate golf course. I'm telling you, it is the most outstanding combination of beautiful fairways and views you will ever see. If you want to join one of the most outstanding new private courses in the country, go to QuinteroGolf.com or call 888-417-8468. That's 888-41-QUINT or 888-417-8468.
How would you like to make a full-time income working from home? Now you can with the proven work-from-home system at homebiz47.com. That's homebiz, the number 47.com. Order your free work-at-home training package today. See how you could spend more time with your family and earn more income than you ever imagined.
Life is absolutely amazing now. I have a business that allows me to be a full-time stay-at-home mom. I can work from home and actually bring in a six-figure income. My husband will be retiring out of corporate America in a few short months at the age of 36 and be coming home to work with me full-time. And our daughter will have both parents at home, which is absolutely phenomenal.
Order your free work-at-home training package and free DVD by logging on to homebiz47.com. Shipping is not included. Change your life. Log on to homebiz, the number 47.com. That's homebiz47.com.
Do you want to own a brand new computer and improve your credit score at the same time? If you have less than perfect credit but can afford a weekly payment of $29.99 for just 12 months, then you're approved for a brand new Dell or HP computer with no credit check, so you won't be turned down.
Call Guaranteed Consumer Funding today to have your brand new computer shipped right to you, and we'll include over $700 in premium upgrades and a free MP3 player. For a new computer and improved credit score, call 800-787-2816. 800-787-2816.
It takes the same thing to get to the Super Bowl and win that it takes to get there and lose. You know, it's not the NBA where you got a seven-game series once you get in that in the final. You got to get it done that day.
And now, back to Head Games Radio with Nick Lowry. Join the conversation now by calling 800-878-PLAY. That's 800-878-7529.
Welcome back to Head Games. We're going to be joined in a few minutes by Luke Jensen for an Aussie Open update, but I thought we'd continue with this with Fred Ang, who's there in Maui. Fred, that's just not fair.
Well,
Maui?
Somebody's got to keep the economy up here in Hawaii, and that might as well be me.
And I'm sure there are a lot of youth sports issues out there, right?
Well, there are. You
right.
Know. No, there really are, Nick, and we have a chapter of our association here in Maui, and they do a great job and educating coaches and parents. We're very proud of that.
Well, I thought we'd make the connection to the Cincinnati Bengals issues with the attitude that a TO was showing, saying that a Bill Parcells, an older coach, was like a grandmother that you love but that really is stuck in their ways. Here's Rick Goslin for the Dallas Morning News about this new phenomenon. I'm not sure it's going to work in the case of the Raiders. It may in the case of Pittsburgh with younger coaches and what they're bringing to the game that might be necessary in the era of free agency.
I think the older coaches, and Parcells and Gibbs are two great examples, they won their Super Bowls before the salary cap with veteran players. Older coaches like veteran players because veteran players don't make mistakes that get you beat. You know, those Redskins teams, they had, you know, veteran backups behind the veteran starters. Same with the Giants. In a salary cap era, you got to play young players. You can't afford to have veteran backups. You got to get young players on the field. You got to draft them and play them early. And older coaches are reluctant to do that.
So as you look at this discipline issue around the NFL and how it affects kids, do you really think that younger coaches necessarily are a better choice in terms of commanding the respect and helping kids learn respect for authority? Let's start with Fred.
Yeah, you know, that is a very interesting concept, especially when you're talking about people coaching kids. See, 85% of the people that coach kids out there in youth sports are the parents of one of the kids. So obviously they have a close connection with them. But, you know, the interesting thing is that the older guys that are out there coaching. I just got, as an example, Nick, I got an email the other day from a guy that said he had coached for a long time, had been a member of our organization, now his grandkids are out there. And I think, what experience is he bringing to all this? All the negative things he may have seen, all the positive, and now he is bringing a lot of wealth in coaching kids. Why is that not the same at the professional level?
Andy, let me ask you this. We've talked about it. Fred, I know, is sort of a one-strike-and-you're-out philosopher in terms of this. What is your opinion about how a coach at a youth sports level, for kids that are acting out, not just on the field, but the way they treat the coach and also what they do off the field when they're doing things in school, when they're acting out, what is the most important advice you can give to parents and coaches in terms of establishing boundaries and discipline for young athletes?
Well, it's a learning experience, Nick, and I think the situation has to be, you know, these kids are going to make mistakes, the coaches are going to make mistakes, the parents are going to make mistakes. And I think the best way to look at that and to work around it is that it is a learning experience and that people communicate and discuss the issues when there is a problem, when a child makes a mistake on the field. You know, coaching is about correcting that, not about yelling and screaming at them, and I think it's a coach's job to sit down and talk with them about it. If we translate that to the professional level, you know, a lot of these professional athletes have never been in trouble. They've been able to get out of it because in the collegiate level, let's face it, a lot of college football programs in this country, you know, don't look at these issues we're talking about today with a lot of seriousness. They skirt it under the rug. They sweep it under the rug because they know this guy's the star of the team. If he gets in trouble, this gets out, we're going to lose him. So and I think that's been proven pretty clearly that goes on. And then they get to the professional level. Doesn't happen as well. These guys get caught, it's in the public spotlight, they've got to deal with it. And so I think it starts at the youth sport level where you really need to work with these people about right and wrong, good and bad, and teach the kids the difference between right and wrong. And it really starts with the coaches when they make a mistake, I think being open with the kids, say, you know what, I screwed up, here's why I screwed up, and I'm going to try to work on changing this in the future.
Fred, what would be your advice for the National Alliance for Youth Sports in terms of establishing basic boundaries for the young athletes that the coaches can stick to? So when a player acts out, Peter Roby talked about kicking off a pair of twins off the Harvard team, one of whom now is a regular correspondent, a medical correspondent for the Today Show, who said being kicked off the team was actually the best thing that ever happened to him, but because by giving boundaries, by letting him know that there was a place he could not go, that he realized he had to be accountable for his actions in a way he never had before.
Well, and you know, you stated it before, that I'm, when it regards to kids playing sports, in one time, it's a one strike and you're out deal because of what you just said, the educational value. We never stop, for the most part, to look and think of sports for kids. It's a very educational experience. I call it the outdoor classroom for kids to learn about life. And when you have coaches that can teach kids that when you screw up, when you do things that are really, really wrong, then you don't belong to this team. And then later on, kids will take that message and learn it when they go into life. That's the value of sports to me.
Dr. Jenkins, final thoughts before we let you go, and we'll move on to Luke Jensen and his take on those players that have discipline on and off the court itself. But what would be your final advice, Dr. Jacobs, on if you were talking to a Marvin Lewis and you're looking at what could be something that could kill him, not for what he does on the field, but because players, for whatever reason, don't respect, don't act on representing the team well off the field?
Well, I want to look at two things. Number one, the players that they're drafting and looking at free agency. I'd really want to do a thorough background about their personalities and their behavioral problems that they've had, if any. And then I would want to set up a real strong behavioral program with these guys and set some very firm guidelines. Here's what we allow. Here's what we don't allow. If you do this, this is what will happen. And then they've got to back it up. They've got to back it up, and these guys have got to be punished for what they're doing. They can't continue to get away with this and think...
Okay, that's a generality, though. I mean, they've got to be punished. I mean, there's a punishment, there's a fine. What is a punishment that really would make a difference? Because whatever they've been punishing them with at this point in Cincinnati is not working.
Well, I don't know what they're doing, Nick. I mean, that's the whole thing. We've got to look at exactly what it is they're doing, because what they're doing isn't working, and it needs to be more severe. I mean, I can't comment on that because we don't know what it is, but... Whatever.
No, I want to know what you say. I want to put you on the spot here. What would you do? Would you suspend them? And to me, suspension is the only thing that gets their attention.
I think you suspend them and you dock them and pay, because that's what's going to make a statement to these guys. When they lose their paycheck, that's what's going to hit them right between the eyes, and that's where you're going to really get them.
Well, Dr. Jacobs, appreciate it. And everybody that wants to get in touch with Dr. Andrew Jacobs, a national authority on youth sports and sports psychology, go to winnersunlimited.com. Andy, thank you, buddy. We'll see you next week.
All right, take care. Thanks a lot.
Okay, we're going to be traveling. This is modern technology at its best. Fred Eng in Maui and Luke Jensen down under, thousands of miles away. Wake up, Luke.
Thousands. Sometimes you feel like millions of miles away.
Hey, this has been a pretty exciting and unpredictable Open. Before we get to the tennis results, you know, we've been talking about the effect of a Jimmy Connors on an Andy Roddick. You know, when you have a mentoring relationship, the level of discipline, the level of hard work and focus makes a difference. When you listen to the discussion of teams like the Cincinnati Bengals, that for whatever reason, with great talent, are seeming to sabotage themselves, what advice would you give the listener in terms of setting boundaries? I mean, would it be suspensions for 4 games, 2 games for the first thing? What would be the thing you would do to send a message if you're Marvin Lewis?
Well, I think, I really believe you have to start cutting players. I really do at some point. I mean, at Syracuse University, I'm not at the level of professional football, but I had to reestablish some discipline and reestablish a code of professionalism on my team. And, for example, I don't like the fact that players throw their rackets. And, for example, if you throw your racket in competition, we'll pull you off the court and default the match. I feel so strongly about that. You never see Roger Federer throw his racket or Rafael Nadal. And I firmly believe you pull that stuff and you do it a couple times, you set that standard for that kid. Talk back to the coach, you're off the team. You can be our number one player, and you'll be dismissed from the team. That's a $40,000 scholarship for talking back to the coaches. In my opinion, you establish what kind of organization you're going to be.
Maria Sharapova was seen slamming her racket down. What would you have done if you were a coach?
Well, I'd have to kick her off the team. I'm not kick her off
wow.
the team. I'd take her off the court. I'd take her off the court. The best thing that ever happened to me as a player and as a person was when I went to Southern Cal, and whenever I'd get upset in the practice, my freshman year, fall semester, my coach Dick Leach at Southern Cal would pull me off the court, kick me out of practice. Never had to do it in the match because he established that in practice. Said, if you throw the racket, that's not the way we do things at Southern Cal. And it really made the difference both in my career and just really established what kind of team we were going to be at Southern Cal. So I would have taken her off the court.
And then you had in your own life with Murphy, a guy that was a very talented guy. You had to keep him disciplined. What would be your insight looking back in your relationship with Murphy Jensen in terms of establishing more boundaries so that Murphy could achieve truly his highest level?
That's a great question. You know, I think at the time, you know, I really thought of, you know, just trying to manage the situation like they're trying to manage with the Cincinnati Bengals and things. And Murphy had a lot of demons and a lot of, you know, positive things, but he also had a lot of negative things. And I think looking back, it would have been the best situation if I really said, you know, this is how things have to be run. And if we're not going to run them this way, then I need to move forward and move on. I think I would have been a much better had a much better ranking, had a more performance, if I would have just moved on, if he pulled the stunts that he did pull. I mean, there were times where he'd be partying so hard during the U.S. Open. I remember, I think it was in the quarterfinals, that he didn't sleep at all the night before a quarterfinal match because he was out, you know, raging the night before. That's not good because I'm sacrificing. I'm doing the things that need to be done to win the U.S. Open, and he's in there raging. And he can rage after the tournament. Not during.
And you'd won the French, so it's not like you didn't have the ability to take it all. Fred Ang, when you listen to this, what advice would you give to parents who want to love their kids, they want to be as coaches, they want to be loving and encouraging to players? Dr. Jacobs talks about encouraging players, but the bottom line is once a season, once every couple seasons, you got to kick somebody off the team. How do you help a coach understand that has to be done once in a while?
Well, first of all, Luke is a man after my heart because I agree absolutely, totally with everything that he's saying. That's the only way that we get a message across to kids, and it begins in the beginning. Think of all the people that are playing at the professional level now that if their coach had been that way when they were young, when they were developing, understanding discipline and the need to be a team player, then we wouldn't have the problem. I think what has to happen is constant getting the message as our organization does to coaches and to parents that this is a very important educational time in their life. It's not sports, it's growing up and developing as a human being.
Well, Fred, we're going to let you go back to the beaches of Maui. We'll check in with you next week, my friend. Appreciate it.
How about the first hole?
Okay.
I'll see you next.
Have fun there. Hey, Luke, when we come back, let's talk about Federer, whether he's the best ever, and your picks for this weekend for the Australian Open on IBM Advantage, Luke Jensen on Head Games and Sirius Channel 122. We'll be right back.
Is credit card debt making your life miserable?
Are you tired of harassing phone calls and struggling to make ends meet?
You may qualify for a little-known program through Debt Consultants of America.
This program allows you to pay back only a small portion of the credit card debt you owe.
In fact, up to 60% of your credit card debt could completely be wiped clean.
It's a proven program.
The best part is Debt Consultants of America does all the work for you.
Plus, you don't have to pay back a penny of the debt that they settle for you.
So grab all your credit card statements and call for a free, no-obligation consultation.
Their friendly counselors will give you all the details.
Call 800-761-3480. That's 800-761-3480.
You need to have at least $10,000 in credit card debt to qualify for this program.
For your free, no-obligation consultation, please call us. 800-761-3480. Call now. 800-761-3480.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There is a tremendous price war among the major term life companies, and you may be paying too much. Consider these possible rates. A man, age 45, non-tobacco user, issue preferred, $1 million of coverage, is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man, age 50, non-tobacco user, issue preferred, can obtain $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $113, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right. Guaranteed level rates for the next 20 years. If you're a smoker, there are great rates available for you as well. TermBusters specializes in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more. So call this number now for a free quote.
800-430-6715. 800-430-6715. Call 24/7. 800-430-6715. 800-430-6715.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic getaway? Well, how about 3 days and two nights in Las Vegas? And what about, you don't pay a dime for it? That's right, act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas's newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge, stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on, you know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call this special toll-free number, 866-50-GO-WIN. Oh, and there's a bonus. If you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 866-50-GO-WIN for all the exciting details. That's 866-50-GO-WIN. Call now.
Welcome back to Head Games Radio. Luke, tell us about this weekend. Who's going to win, bud?
Oh, it's just so fascinating and intriguing. On the women's side, I really believe that Serena Williams is going to beat Maria Sharapova because of the matchup with the serving and the returning. The two most important shots in the game of tennis, the one that kicks it off. Maria Sharapova is one of the better serves in the game of tennis, but second serves has been a problem. Her toss is too far out in front. She's been trying to work on it, but she has no consistency and no confidence in it. She's been hitting a lot of double faults. So when it does go in, it's soft and it's short in the box. And then Serena Williams on the other side, one of the reasons why she's been so effective throughout this tournament is she's taking advantage of those return of serves, and she's dictating from that first shot off of her first shot. She takes control of the point. They're two big hitters. So it also comes down to speed. She's faster than Sharapova, and if she keeps the ball sideline to sideline, she's going to beat Sharapova in two sets. It'll be the first time that anyone 81 in the world outside of this seeding capacity has won the Australian Open on the women's side.
And it's interesting, I asked you this question a couple of days ago. It's as if she has been able to condition herself during the tournament.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt about it. It's strange. It really is. And because you look at it, how is she able to pull this off? And because this is a lot of territory you've got to cover. This is over 100 degrees on the court consistently. But she comes off the court, and I'm telling you, she is not winded. She is not, like, out of breath. I still believe she's not at her fighting weight. But you know what? She has got some type of endurance. She talks about how she has been training. And I really believe there's a chip on her shoulder that wants to prove to the rest of the world, I told you I could do it.
Finally, in our last 30 seconds, does Gonzalez have any chance against Federer?
He really does. That's why it's so intriguing. He's got a big forehand. He's playing within himself. He's got the speed to do it. And Rafael Nadal, who beat Roger Federer 4 times last year, proved if you hit big ground strokes and you're willing to stay out there all day, you can do it. Does Gonzalez have enough in his first Grand Slam singles final to get the job done? I'm picking Federer because that's a safe bet, but don't be surprised. The Chilean can rock.
Whoa. Well, thanks, Luke. Can you check in with us Monday for a look back at one of the better Australian Opens in recent memory?
I can try, but here's the problem. I'm flying back home. So maybe you can catch me over like Maui. We'll play golf.
Okay, we'll try, brother. Thanks, man.
See you, buddy.
Thanks for listening. We want to thank Solomon Wilcotts. We're going to have Charles Barkley on Tuesday's show, Len Doss and Michael Strahan to break down this coming Super Bowl as well. Thanks for listening. Go to Head Games Radio, headgamesradio.com for all the highlights. We'll see you Monday.